impeachment. With Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome to War Room Impeachment, 6 December of the year of our Lord 2019, historic episode 60 on the John Fredericks Radio Network, Salem Broadcasting Radio Network throughout the nation, America's Voice.News, and now on Newsmax TV, crossing 70 million homes. Chris Ruddy and the team, actually Chris Ruddy, the founder and chairman and CEO of Newsmax, will be in studio with us on Monday. Raheem Kassam, Nigel Farage's wingman of Brexit and UKIP fame, Jason Miller, senior strategist for the 2016 comeback of President Trump, and we're joined now by Tony Saig, the White House senior advisor for strategy. And Tony, thank you very much for joining the show this morning.
Steve, great to be with you and all the boys in the room and your listeners.
As you know, this is a pretty grassroots group. I want to get to something right off the bat that you were instrumental in, and I think to the degree that people know you the best is because of your leadership in helping Secretary Mnuchin and others on the historic tax cut of President Trump. Today, I think once again we've seen the fruits of that in these just blowout job numbers. You take a second, because I don't think you see the daily reports today. They don't link it back to the efforts and the strategy of President Trump in regards to the tax cut, in regards to USMCA, in regards to China. This is all inextricably linked. He's a businessman that has a strategy for how to turn around the American economy. The fruits of that are these job numbers, but really even the business press doesn't get back to that. Can you take a second, because I think this is fundamental about this impeachment process, to walk us through what these numbers mean?
Well, it's very important, too, Steve, to remember that Democrats are trying to impeach the president that's given us probably the best economy in almost half a century, certainly the best job market and job numbers in over half a century. And more importantly, though, and I know you and Jason and others who worked on the campaign understand this better than anybody, is when Donald Trump ran for office and went throughout the entire country, the heartland of America, and talked to the forgotten men and women, he realized that even though during the Obama administration, the stock market was fine, actually did rather well, people weren't feeling the benefit. Main Street wasn't getting the same kind of attention that Wall Street was getting. And when you talk about economic growth and growing the economy, what you're talking about is expanding opportunity for people to participate in the greatness of the best economy in the history of the planet, which is the dynamism of the American economy. So the three parts of that were, in the president's mind, and that's what he ran on and won on and now is doing, is tax reform, regulatory relief, and trade. So with tax, it was all about making sure that we had a tax system that encouraged investment into the United States economy, that encouraged expansion of our facilities, of jobs, of factories, so you could create more opportunity for Americans, and you gave Americans more of their money back. And that's why we've seen for the first time in over a decade, and I actually think as much as the jobs growth has been a great story, and as much as the economic growth story has been probably the strongest, certainly in the world today, the part that I really like is the fact that wages are going up, and not just wages of the lowest one-fifth of income earners in America have gone up for the first time in decades because of Donald Trump's policies, particularly tax. And then when you put on top of that the deregulation we've done to allow people to actually start banks to start making loans again to small and medium-sized businesses, which were stifled by the burdensome regulation that came after the financial crisis. And when you talk about now, you're talking about USMCA, that's a huge boost to our economy, for our farmers, for our workers, for our consumers. You're talking about close to 200,000 jobs created if Nancy Pelosi actually decided to bring that bill forward, and it would pass, and it would pass with strong bipartisan support. But you're talking about almost $70 billion of GDP growth as a result of that as well. So we also have other trade agreements, and I know we're not on the show just to talk about this particular issue.
But this is the heart of what the opportunity cost. I think this is what the nation, particularly in those districts that were Obama twice, you know, as you know, Trump went to Trump. We lost him in 18. That those Democrats ran on the economy, they ran on health care, they were not going to impeach. But now the Nancy Pelosi and this kind of radicalized element of the Democratic Party has forced the nation into a constitutional crisis over the holiday and Christmas season when you see that the strategy of President Trump is working. It takes a while to turn an economy around. And particularly, Tony, I'd like you to develop that thesis that a little bit more about this was to get the jobs down to the unskilled workers. This was the forgotten man and woman, whether in the manufacturing section up in the Middle West or throughout the country. You see historic numbers, African Americans, Hispanic, and wages. Can you just develop it? Because to me, that is the heart of why this is such a travesty.
Because the bottom line is you can't punish job creators for creating jobs. And that was what was happening in our country during the 8 years of Barack Obama. And frankly, that became the kind of systematic norm of policy out of Washington, even in some Republican administrations. And what you had was the president willing to reduce the corporate tax rate down so low that it incentivized businesses to expand, invest and expand their facilities, that we changed our entire international tax system to make sure money was repatriated to the tune of trillions of dollars back to investment in America. And that's why you're able to see a lot of that wage growth. And the other part is, and you saw this in the immediate wake of the passage of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, when you had hundreds and hundreds of companies voluntarily decide to raise their own employees' wages, to give them bonuses. In the case of Walmart, they raised the minimum wage of their workers to about $12. And that was an additional $4,000 a year in the pocket of somebody who the previous year was making $18,000 a year. That's real money. I know Nancy Pelosi calls it peanuts. I know Barack Obama thinks that probably should be taxed too, but that's real money for people. And by the way, we also doubled the standard deduction, so the first $24,000 of any family's income was not taxed. We actually created a 0% tax bracket for hardworking men and women who really rely solely on their income.
Tony, one jump in here. So the most idiotic comment that I saw from a reporter this morning was that these jobs numbers for President Trump are the clearest indication that he has a path for re-election in 2020. But he won't talk about jobs every day from here on out, which, by the way, if Biden and Warren and Sanders did talk about jobs every single day, they wouldn't have anywhere near these numbers. But yesterday, look, the president tweeted out that he wants to have this fight now. Let's get it over with. Let's get cleared in the Senate and get back to doing the job that he was elected to do. How do we defend the president and keep our eye on the prize with things like USMCA and further deregulation and continuing these job increases?
Well, listen, we know it's a sham, and Nancy Pelosi's press conference yesterday confirmed that for us. Here's the Jerry Nadler actually sent Pat Cipollone, our White House counsel, a letter, and that said, how would you like to participate in these judiciary hearings so we could continue to gather information, evidence, facts, etc.? We had until today at 5 p.m. to respond to that letter and decide whether or not we were willing to cooperate or participate if the rules became fairer into the judiciary process. A day before that deadline, Nancy Pelosi says, well, we've already decided of impeachment to the House. So this goes to show you this has been a sham all along. So the president's view is bring it on. Okay, you guys have this rigged process. You know what you're going to try to do. Now, listen, I happen to think that there are going to be many Democrats in Trump districts that Steve was talking about that are going to hate taking this vote. And, you know, there, I think, has to be a lot of pressure already on them from their constituents when they were home for Thanksgiving. I mean, geez, imagine if she doesn't get this vote before Christmas, how much pressure these members will be under when they go back home.
You agree, Tony, she's got to get this vote on the 20th or 21st. They can't go without this vote. They go home, they're going to get blown up.
Absolutely. Well, listen, she knows they're going to get blown up because she already sees the polls. I mean, double-digit drop in support for impeachment since Adam Schiff's fake hearings have begun. And the bottom line remains, she's been trapped into this. And I happen to hold out, just maybe I'm an optimist. I try to always be. I hold a Reagan optimist, right? I hold out a little hope that there is some sense and sensibility in you know, some of these 25 to 30 members in Trump, Democrat members in Trump's districts, who are going to look at this and know that she's walking them off the plank. But, so, hey, Tony, she may get this done, and if she does, we're ready for it in the Senate.
Yeah, let's go right to that point. There's new polling that was out in Politico Playbook this morning saying that three of the freshman Democrats in these districts you talk about, Anthony Brindisi, Susie Lee, Kendra Horn, are in real pressure back home because of this impeachment witch hunt. We had Jeff Van Drew and Colin Peterson vote against starting this impeachment nonsense in the first place.
And Van Drew says, I'm a no vote.
And exactly. And Peterson said, I have no idea what they're doing, reverting to his own caucus. But now we have Dale Kildee from Michigan indicating that he might be a no as well. That means we need 14 more votes to go and get the Dems here. You think we have a good shot?
I tell you what, hang on, Tony, before you answer that, we've got to jump to a commercial break. Wait, can you hang on for a second and we'll take a few commercials and come right back and get you?
You bet.
Okay, Tony
Sykes. I'm a capitalist.
Tony Sykes, we're going to pay some bills here. It's War Room Impeachment. Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller, Steve Bannon. We got Tony Sykes from the White House. We're going to take a short commercial break, pay some bills, be back in a moment.
War Room Impeachment. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment. John Frederick's Radio Network, nationwide on Salem Radio, on AmericasVoice.news throughout the world. And now on Newsmax TV, cable TV. Before we get to Tony Sayegh, the White House senior advisor for strategy, who was instrumental with Secretary Mnuchin and working and getting President Trump's tax bill passed, I want to get some breaking news on Jim Cramer and CNBC, who's not always a friend.
Yeah, CNBC's Jim Cramer tweets this morning, hate him or like him, referring to President Trump. Best number in 50 years, talking about the just recently released U.S. jobs numbers, and no inflation to speak of. It's pretty
it's
good.
It's extraordinary. Jason, why don't we tee this question up for Tony again? I don't know if people before the break heard it. Let's do that because I'm waiting for that answer.
Yeah, Tony, we had two Democrats vote no on the initial round of impeachment. And it looks like we might get Dale Kildee from Michigan. That could be three, meaning we only need 14 more Democrats to vote no on this thing to tank it and make sure it doesn't get out of the House. What can the White House do about this, and what should our grassroots people be doing?
Well, Jason, you know, much like you and Steve know during the campaign, the president doesn't just rely at all on the mainstream media. We've gone completely around, you know, the chyrons, mostly fake chyrons of CNN and MSNBC, and we go directly to the heartland through regional media. You know, through a lot of local media, we do a great amount of radio. My colleague Pam Bondi, who's joined me in this effort, and I are doing, as evidenced by this conversation.
Yeah, she's fabulous.
She's great, and you know, we're doing a lot of local and regional, not just TV and radio. We talk with local newspapers. You know, we're in the media markets that cover all of these districts from the White House every day with other surrogates, Kellyanne, of course, you know, Hogan Gidley, Stephanie Grisham, and we have a very robust effort out of the White House to make sure we're communicating directly to the people in those districts who, you know, Steve, as we talked about earlier, if you remember, these are the people who put Donald Trump in the White House to fight on their behalf. You talked about the strong economy and hopefully the good indicators coming out today. The bottom line remains, Donald Trump did this to help the hardworking, forgotten man and woman in America. And do you think they want to see him removed and impeached over nothing? Over a phone call that people may or may not have liked the way he conducted? And this is why I have to tell you, I truly in my heart believe that, look, like we keep saying 31. There's a lot of hyper-partisan people in that list of 31. So let's reduce it to about 24. Okay, there's 24 members. 13 of them are in districts that John McCain, Mitt Romney, and Donald Trump won. Okay, so let's start from the basis of those 13 and move up. Do you think they think their constituents sent them to Washington to vote to impeach the man that they put in Washington to help them and help include them in the growth of our economy? I mean, as we talked about before, higher wages, more jobs, a lot better approach to our economic and national security. I think this is a sure loser for Democrats. I'll tell you this. Yesterday was the day, if they actually go forward with the impeachment articles, that Nancy Pelosi solidify the fact that she will not be Speaker of the House next year because the Democrats will absolutely lose their majority in the House of Representatives.
Wow! Why do you say that? That's a pretty big statement.
Because Steve, you and Jason, as very seasoned political strategists, know when you're a politician who focuses on what you care about more than what the people who elect you care about, you lose, and you now have 230 Democrats who are solely focused on what they care about in their little hyper-partisan echo chamber impeachment, not what their constituents care about, where you think of, you know, obviously we've talked a lot about USMCA. There's other important business as well. We need a budget. We don't have a budget in Washington. The most fundamental basic obligation of our government is to fund the military, to make sure we have border security, to do all these essential things. We still don't have a budget, and we have 5 or 6 legislative days left, hyper-monopolized by impeachment. We've talked about infrastructure. We've talked about a lot of these important issues, border security and immigration reform. Why are we not moving forward on these? Donald Trump has been the most open-minded person when it's come to working with both sides to solve real long-standing problems. Instead, they're wasting this entire opportunity and squandering it on an impeachment only they care about, and they ultimately will pay the price in November.
Not just the opportunity cost. What is the biggest thing that President Trump now, he's got the tax cut, he's got the economy going, you know, you got jobs, that the numbers are blowout numbers, wages increasing. This massive deal that he's been working on with China now for, you know, almost 2.5 years. How has this impeachment process, you think, hurt the president's negotiating leverage in that regard that's going to have a major impact to the American people?
You may have noticed, Steve, when I was working with the secretary, I accompanied him and Ambassador Lighthizer on all our trade missions to China, and, of course, when the Chinese came to the United States. Look, China knows they need to make a deal. President Xi, I think, has great respect for President Trump. They made an agreement in principle, their first meeting in April of 2017 in Mar-a-Lago, that they had to address the massive trade deficit between our countries. We had been working very hard to that end. And sadly, I think this hyper-partisan attempt at impeachment has definitely complicated our ability to get that deal, certainly get it this year. Because I do think the Chinese are looking at this whole matter and either assuming that if a Democrat wins, they could probably manhandle them the same way they've manhandled every other U.S. president. Or, you know, if Donald Trump wins, will he be somehow, you know, weaker or unable to necessarily keep the momentum that he's gained in the negotiations of the last 2.5 years. So it is very unfortunate when these types of matters short-circuit such an important thing. And Steve, you've done a lot of great work on China, and you know, look, this is the world's two biggest economies.
Yep.
Imagine if we got our economic and trade relationship right. Just imagine what that means for the world, for our country, but for the world.
I mean, the Lighthizer-President Trump deal that from May literally would reorganize the world's economy for peace and prosperity for literally decades to come. See, this, I think, the President Trump never gets the credit as what he's done in thinking through the world economy. And from you, and this is the tragedy of USMCA. And I do not understand why we're not every day hanging that on the Democrats' head. It is incredible that President Trump, because this deal makes Mexico, the United States, and Canada a geostrategic alternative in manufacturing to East Asia and the Chinese. And that's what they're... And this is, to me, that's the tragedy, this whole sham process.
Tony, I want to close out here. We only have just under 2 minutes. Talking about our good friends in the media, why aren't they more upset that Adam Schiff might have their phone records?
You know, you bring up a great point, Jason. You have kind of an eerie resemblance. I don't know if you all remember back during the Obama administration when the Department of Justice, you know, targeted James Rosen from Fox News at the time. You know, all the media then appropriately responded in kind. Are we going to have that same benefit extended to John Solomon here and, you know, others, the president's personal attorneys? And whether or not Adam Schiff did something that was potentially legal, because I think there's a lot of people out there saying, well, it was illegal. It's certainly unethical, and it's certainly creepy, which kind of goes very consistently with, I think, the way he's conducted the impeachment hearing. So I think every American has to worry about, you know, their personal privacy and their personal information when this could happen to people, you know, in the private sector, the way it's happened under Adam Schiff.
So, Tony, final question for you. One big thing here. What is the mood inside the White House as we close out this week?
We're extremely bullish. We've been upbeat all along. We know the president's done nothing wrong, and we know that, you know, whatever happens in this impeachment mess, the president will come out on top and win re-election in 2020.
Tony Sayegh, this White House Senior Advisor for Strategy, thank you so much for taking time this morning, Tony. Really appreciate it. Those are the fighters inside the White House right now. The Democrats got to understand, President Donald J. Trump is going on offense, okay? And these numbers today support the really brilliant economic plan he's had. War and impeachment with Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller. We're going to have Adam Brandon next from FreedomWorks. We'll be back in a moment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room, Impeachment.
On the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, 6th December, Year of Our Lord 2019, the historic episode 60 on the John Fredericks Radio Network, Salem Broadcasting Radio Network throughout the country, America's Voice.news, everywhere, live streaming, and Newsmax TV now crossing 70 million homes, Newsmax being the fastest growing cable news operation under the leadership of Chris Ruddy, now honored to be joined by Adam Brandon, who is the leader of FreedomWorks, one of the great grassroots organizations out there. And right before we get to Adam and get an update on the grassroots in these districts, Tony Saik, he's the perfect guy for this time. He and Pam Bondi coming in to augment the team that's in there of Kellyanne and Stephanie and Hogan and all the great team over there. It's a perfect timing for that, and particularly because Tony knows the business side so well and the economic side so well. And these blowout numbers, what I liked about that the most was the bullish. He says, hey, inside the White House, it's bullish. You can tell they're pivoting. They're going to go on offense now, right? His plan is working. And here's what upsets me about the business press. They nitpick all the time on these on about the trade deals. There's a master plan here, right? That's why USMCA is, and Adam mentioned it beforehand. You know, a lot of guys thought that this was just an uptick from NAFTA, but right. USMCA is quite different.
So, yeah, my initial impression when I looked at USMCA is like, it's not that different from NAFTA. And you hear this all the time. Well, I started diving into it in the last week or so. It's significantly different.
Big time.
You know, and there's stuff that Democrats should love that they've been complaining about for years. The enforcement mechanisms, because Mexico in the past has said, yeah, we'll
Trump
do this
stuff. This is a China deal. It's all about enforcement. He's not going to just sign something to sign something. He's not about optics. He's about reality. Those job numbers today show you the master plan at work. It shows you the heavy lift he had to get tax reform in, the deconstruction of the administrative state. This is all the deregulations, right? And the trade deals are part of this realignment of America's just not going to be a punching bag. With our allies, he wants reciprocity is what he's always talked about. These deals have, and by the way, they're approved by a populist left government in Mexico and a progressive left government in Canada. These deals work.
One third of the Mexican economy is based on trade with the United States, so they got to take the deal. They have to. And so we're forcing enforcement mechanisms on them to make sure that they live up to their parts of the deal. Some other numbers about USMCA. If it's just okay, it's going to add 150,000 jobs.
Yes.
It's expected to add closer to 500,000
yes.
jobs and 1.2% to the
GDP. Do you imagine 1.2% of the GDP over time? Okay, I want you two guys. You're my war room master strategist. What Tony said this morning. Give me your ideas, and then Raheem, jump in. How do you position that?
Well, first of all, I thought it was pretty big that he said that Nancy Pelosi probably ended her speakership yesterday. That
deal.
Was huge. The one other thing, if we had another few minutes with Tony.
And he backed it up.
And he backed it up with details. And you start
We're
looking.
We're going to get into a little more in the rest of this half hour with Adam Brandon, but he backed it up.
Backed it up in a big way. And if we had a few more minutes, I would have said, I'm glad that the White House hasn't given an inch on this impeachment nonsense.
Not an inch.
They've stayed so strong on this and stayed focused on USMCA, on the opportunity cost, the things that we're missing out here. But Adam, I definitely want to get into with you a little more of the granularity. You talked when you were on before about the Dirty 30.
Correct.
These freshman Democrats from districts that Trump carried in 2016.
The Dirty 30.
But want to get a sense, take us granular here, take us inside the details. What is being done in these 31 districts to put pressure to tell these folks to vote no on impeachment?
When you had that wave that the Democrats took the House, everyone's been focusing on AOC and some of these others.
The squad.
But most of these members who won were in these swingish districts that are either Republican plus one or two or Democrat plus one or two. And they appealed to
And they're
a
looking
lot.
For change. These are ones that went for Obama twice, went for Trump, and then swung back and when they took the House. So these are the change districts.
These are also districts that issues matter. They tend to be districts that are
spread. Results.
But they're spread across. These are not deep red and deep blue districts. That's the most important part about these. This is suburban Charleston, South Carolina. This is suburban Salt Lake City.
By the way, the heart of the John Fredericks Radio Network's got two of them, Virginia 7 and Virginia 2.
Right. So when you won, if you're a Connor Lamb outside of Pittsburgh, you ran as a practical Democrat. All you have to show right now is impeachment. And again, this USMCA,
not very practical, is it?
What's this is going to be jobs that's going to be brought right back to these districts, and Nancy Pelosi's in a tough spot. She either has to deliver, again, what labor wants.
But how did these guys go back? They ran specifically, Nancy Pelosi told them time, because these were all curated. These were hand-selected. These were auditioned and selected former military people. People worked in the security apparatus, intelligence apparatus. They were told, never mention the I word, mm-hmm. right? Only talk about health care, talk about jobs, talk about national security.
Well, Nancy Pelosi's lost her hold to the squad and to the progressive base of the party.
We're going to get all back to this in a second. This War Room Impeachment, Episode 60, Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller, Stephen K. Bannon on the John Fredericks Salem Radio, America's Voice, Newsmax TV. We have Adam Brandon, the head of FreedomWorks, one of the great grassroots organizations. We had Tony Sayegh on earlier. We're going to take a short commercial break. We'll return with Adam Brandon in a moment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room Impeachment
on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, 6 December, year of our Lord, 2019, live from Capitol Hill, Episode 60, the historic Episode 60, John Fredericks Radio Network, Salem Radio Network, America's Voice.News, and now Newsmax TV. Jump in here, sir.
I also must stress, podcast, the every single show we've ever done, including the shows back 3.5 weeks ago, where Stephen K. Bannon predicted the 21st of December
as the vote
deadline.
I think it was 4 weeks ago. That's
for
okay.
impeachment.
No. Thanks for the shout out.
They are. Oh, yeah. Well, I had you to get a shout out for the podcast.
Talk about warroom.org. Your site's on fire too.
Yeah, warroom.org is where we aggregate all the information you guys out there need to know about impeachment. Easy, digestible, bite-sized stories so that you don't miss a trick on any of this stuff, and expanding it out to the things that actually matter as well, like the jobs report from this morning. Got a great graphic up there this morning that explains in which sectors the jobs are roaring in the U.S. economy at the moment. But importantly, make sure you're going on. We had the biggest ever download day on the podcast yesterday. I want to beat those numbers today.
Look, here's the reason. This show is going to stay on every day, 7 days a week, until the day after President Donald J. Trump is acquitted. We said when he started the show that they are going to impeach him. We got to stop looking at what the truth is about the economy, and it's ridiculous and a sham. They've got a process because they have the votes. That's why we've been doing this. And it's a grassroots show. We're out there to get the Trump Nation to get the information. We put up a lot of stories that have the Democrats' point of view and from the mainstream media. We're going to start trying to get Democrats on here to talk about it. We're not trying to hammer people unfairly. We're trying to get information out there.
And we have invited every single one of those 31.
The Dirty 30.
Dirty 30.
And we're going to get a couple on. I'm sure we're going to get a couple on. So there, including in the John Fredericks Radio Network, we want Virginia 2 and Virginia 7 to come on here and just explain to their constituents, hey, they've weighed and measured this. Why are they either going to vote one way or the other? The purpose of the show is to get information out to people.
Yeah, and Steve, while we've been here, President Trump has tweeted out, stock markets up record numbers for this year alone, Dow up almost 19%, S&P up 24%, NASDAQ up 29%, and then he puts at the end, it's the economy, stupid.
Just remember, it was just a few months ago, the U.S. economy may slip into recession at the end of the year. No evidence of that right now.
Well, that's what they're talking about, the fourth quarter. Oh, well, you got to watch this fourth quarter. It's going to be, and then you see jobs number. Talk about that chart real briefly. That chart's now up on War Room.
It's a
stunning chart when you see it, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, especially juxtaposed with, and I have been one of the economy skeptics over the last year or so, but looking at this, when you look at 74,000 jobs added in education and health services, 54,000 added in manufacturing, 45,000 in leisure and hospitality, 38,000 in professional and business services, 15,000 in transportation. You go through this and you look at those big green bars and you look at where these jobs are coming back into over the course of 1 month. Very, very hard for Democrats to push back against this.
See, here's what I like about what Adam Brandon is doing. This is why FreedomWorks has always been ahead of the wedge. You're actually right now, you're focused on USMCA also.
Correct,
and tell us what you're doing on USMCA, because this is central to the Trump agenda and to the country's agenda.
And focusing on, for the next few weeks, focusing on USMCA, it's a twofer. Because number one, it's an important piece of policy. It's going to be a landmark piece of policy. But number two, if the Democrats don't move, if Nancy Pelosi doesn't move on this, it just proves that they're all about impeachment and nullifying the entire 100%. Election. So the good news 100%. Is
it highlights what they're really there for.
It highlights what they're really there for. But I just saw something pop up that Joe Biden said 11 minutes ago. He's worried he's likely to inherit a recession. So now he's moving the timetable back. So now,
Joe, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that, Joe. Yeah,
he'll be back.
You
don't have to worry about that, Joe. He'll be back sunning his leg hairs and having the kids at the pool smooth them down.
Whoa, man. Okay, this is the reason, but that I think I want to go back to your early comment, Mr. Jason Miller, is that the president has been right about this thing from the very beginning and saying. When a lot of Republicans and other people saying, oh, just say it was wrong, but it's not impeachable. No, what I said was perfect. This is why I was elected president of the United States. I'm here to make sure we're not exporting corruption, to make sure that every dollar that the American people send forward is well accounted for. And as importantly, and you saw this in NATO, that we really have allies, and the allies are putting into the kitty. This economy is because he thought through the three elements of it. Tax reform to incentivize people. Number two, deconstruction administration rate to deregulate. And three, a whole system of trade deals that based upon reciprocity. There's a buried lead in Sue Gordon that was deputy DNI. She was a member of the apparatus, but President Trump gave her the deputy job under Coates. And she said in this thing the other day about his briefings and all the media went through meltdown about, oh my gosh, he didn't actually believe the briefings. Well, he would ask pointed questions about the intelligence briefing that you want a chief executive and chairman to ask those type of questions, to always push back, particularly on the assumptions underlying that. But most important, the buried lead about 20 paragraphs down was that she said, he looks at the world differently. He looks at economic security and economics as a central part of national security. This is the key to the Trump doctrine, and that's why we have to have this debate. The whole thing in the Ukraine was all this diplomacy. President Trump looks at it in a much more sophisticated way, that USMCA and our trade deals with Japan and South Korea in the EU, all part of a network that then you can negotiate with the Chinese, and that's why the Ukraine's a sideshow to a sideshow. And what he said, and that's, Jason, your point, he has not backed off this central tenet. I didn't say anything wrong in that phone call. The pattern of all the stuff we did beforehand was absolutely correct. And this is why the American people put me here. This is to counter the managed decline of our elites.
Yeah, and I mean, Steve, we talk to establishment Republicans or members of the media every single day who through this entire process have said, can't he just say he did a little bit wrong? Can't he just say that, well, we'll throw this person from the team under the bus and then it'll be okay? Completely foolish. No, President Trump did nothing wrong. I am here to shake up Washington. Like he tweeted out yesterday, I'm here to clean the swamp. I might need a new T-shirt from my drain the swamp to now clean the swamp. I want to pass USMCA, do all these great things. But all the Democrats can do is be triggered and try to overturn 2016.
As far as the boxing analogy on Mayfield, he's the great counterpuncher. How do you see how do you see it pivoting now with a bullish White House going on offense?
Well, as we were discussing during the break, and I think it was Raheem that brought this up, but we're heading, this is the Christmas season is here. We're in the holidays. People are happy. People are looking at these jobs numbers. They're looking at the wage growth. They're feeling good about America. They're feeling good about President Trump on the world stage. They would spend this time with the families. And Nancy Pelosi is taking her members right off the cliff.
If you want a job, you can get a job in America today. And if you don't like your current job, you can find a better job. That is the strength of the economy right now.
Okay, take a short commercial break. We'll be back with War Room Impeachment in just a moment with Adam Brandon from FreedomWorks, Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller. We'll be back on the John Frederick, the Salem, America's Voice and Newsmax TV in just a moment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room Impeachment on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, the historic episode 60. Since we've had a couple of other commercials thrown in there, I want to go to Adam Brandon right away from FreedomWorks. Adam, you're going to tease some news here, right?
Right. In just a couple days, I'm supposed to get a first draft from my staff on the congressional elections that are going to be upcoming. And we're going to have a list.
The 2020 congressionals.
One of the lists are going to be, what are the top 10 seats we need to flip to take the House back? And the second list is going to be, if your main goal is to build up the House Freedom Caucus, what are the top 10 races to watch? There is some overlap, but there's a lot of difference. So you know, I think it might be a good idea, maybe in a week or so, I'll come back on the program and give it to you guys so we can
I know that you'll rank order the seats. What do you think the issues are going to be?
Well, this is going back to, I actually think USMCA and impeachment are going to be these key drivers, not necessarily the issues, but if all that these Democrats have to do to show for their time in Washington is impeachment, it's a zero for them.
You've spent a lot of your life in motels throughout this country running campaigns for congressional candidates. As you look at it as a professional, how bad a position has Nancy Pelosi put these folks in?
She's put them in a real bad spot. I mean, they've walked out at the end of the plank, and she's sawed it off and said, smile about it while you're plunging into the ocean here. I mean, the thing that people forget is that in a presidential year, it is so damn hard for a House race to cut through the clutter, the national environment. People look and say, President Trump thumbs up or thumbs down, or President Trump versus crazy Bernie or Warren or Sanders or whomever. It is tough for any of these House members to get something through. And so if Pelosi is taking them off this plank on impeachment, they're not going to be able to say, but I wanted to vote for USMCA, but Nancy wouldn't let me. That doesn't work.
Was this today, we got about a minute left, was this the turning point? Nancy Pelosi comes out yesterday, and like Tony said, we're supposed to have to 5 o'clock today. She jumps it by day. Do you see a turning point with these job numbers in the economy and now the bullishness of Trump? You see Trump on the trigger on tweet. You see Tony. Do you think you've seen a turning point here?
I think even they see how problematic this is. I'm reading from a Fox News report. A member of Nancy Pelosi's leadership team told Fox this week that the backlog of bills up this month in the House works against the December impeachment vote and explains that impeachment doesn't fit the holiday spirit. They're already terrified of this.
Okay, we got to bounce. I want it. Warroom.org is the site.
That Raheem, is the site. Okay. Expect to see everyone there. There's a great comment section.
And you can go. We want your comments. We're building a community. John Frederick Radio Network, Salem Broadcast Radio Network, America's Voice.News, Newsmax TV. We're going to be live tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. here as we are every day, 7 days a week until the day after the acquittal of Donald J. Trump, the 45th president of the United States. I want to thank everybody for listening in. I want to thank Tony and the people of the White House for making him available today, and particularly Adam Brandon, one of the great leaders of the grassroots movement we're having next week back here with your report. See you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
War Room.